Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So we got the CFP rankings coming out tonight. Not a lot of dramatic stuff happened in the top 10. We'll see if Utah's punished for their narrow victory over Avery Johnson and the Kansas State Wildcats. They had to come back late. They gave up, what, over 400 yards of rushing? Over 400 rushing yards. Came back and won, I think, 51-17. They were a 51-47, excuse me. They were a three-score favorite at home, so we'll see if the committee punishes them for that and drops them a spot. That's probably really the only thing to take a look at. Maybe Vanderbilt, because they dismantled Kentucky, jumps Miami, who knows. But it's no drama in the top 10. It'll be all about the teams right outside the top 10 and where they fall. BYU had a nice win in Cincinnati because they can't kick field goals in Cincinnati, apparently, on a Saturday night. Field goal kicker was pretty good all year. Going back to last year, struggled, and it helped BYU get a win in Cincinnati. So they're good. They're in line to play in the Big 12 title game against Tech. We'll see how much the committee may punish them if they do lose to Tech. Probably a lot, because they're a Big 12 team. And what do we have, Sean? Do you think if things go chalk, if things go chalk, we're talking of, I won't even say chalk, because if it goes chalk, then we don't have any spots open. Maybe realistically, we're talking maybe two at-large spots up in the air. If we just go by, let's go chaos. We expect some sort of chaos.
Normal,
but maybe
chaos,
not normal
setting.
Chaos, not full-on chaos, yeah. Where Ole Miss is losing the Egg Bowl, and then it could happen. But I'm just saying, a combo of Ole Miss losing the Egg Bowl, yeah, and Alabama losing the Iron Bowl, and other things happening where Tech loses a game before,
yeah. Notre Dame loses to Stanford.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Like a normal amount where you might have a big upset, but you don't have like five, six of them happen. Mm-hmm. We're talking maybe two spots up in the air.
Yeah, yeah, probably just the Utah schools, right, are on the bubble.
Yeah, and if the Utah schools get jumped by Miami, then the whole, hey, now you're in the same tier thing. But I think it comes down to,
I think Miami moves up. I think if they beat Pitt, they move up, and like they kind of they get that over.
They force that conversation.
Yeah, and then they just put them at like 9 and Notre Dame at 10, because they can't do it for the final rankings.
Be too, you know, obvious.
Yeah, they can't do it after conference championship weekend if they don't play. If both teams don't play.
Yeah.
So I think they have to like get all the non championship game, you know, attenders or
in,
you know, participants
spots.
Get those ducks in a row.
Now, it could very well be a bid stealer. Like, say, if they,
yeah,
if
I mean, you, happened last year.
Yeah, to your point, if Miami is above the two Utah schools and they're at 10, or for whatever reason they decide to boom at 10, and
one of them beats Tech,
then they're going to keep Tech in, so a bid is stolen from them at large. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as it ties into our misery index, but let's hear from Dan Lanning, because the team he's talking about is the number one team on the misery index. Here's Dan Lanning before the game this weekend.
Composure, laser focus, win your one-on-one matchup.
Seniors, this game we're all putting on the line for you. It's a DNA game, connection, toughness, growth, sacrifice. It shows up right here. And in this fight, as they get a little bit tired, we say one more round. After we hit a big play, we say one more round, right? After they start to bleed, we say one more round. Really simple. For the seniors in this room, you get an opportunity to lay it on the line. They're living off their history. Matt Leinart, he ain't walking through there. Reggie Bush ain't going to show up. But I'll tell you who he is. Dante Moore's going to show up. Bryce Betcher going to show up. Pacho going to show up. Blake Purchase going to show up. You got the Warriors necessary to go walk out there and deliver. Understand something. Why are you wearing black? You're going to a Trojan funeral.
I mean, it worked. They won the game, but I'm not sure if USC's living in the past to the point where they're thinking about Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. We're talking 20 years ago now. A lot of those USC players weren't even alive. So I'm not sure that's what's going on. But USC went up to Eugene. Competitive game, but Oregon wins. Solidifies their spot in CFP. USC done for when it comes to making the playoff. I mean, great speech, Dan Lanning. I just don't know if Mekhi Lemon is like, man, I hope the ghost of Matt Leinart is behind me tonight.
Man, I need to play like Dwayne Jarrett for us to have a chance.
The other Steve Smith. I got to play like him. Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. But, hey, do what you got to do. In fact,
my bigger
question is, how many of his players know who Matt Leinart is? Man, I've seen him on TV probably.
Yeah,
they know.
He kept it very – he didn't go – you know, Frosty Rucker. Like, he went two guys that are on the Fox set.
He didn't do Matt Grudegood or anything like that, all those guys from the past.
John David Booty.
Yeah, they're living off of him. What was the – I forgot the running back who came out of Louisiana who surprisingly chose them. I forgot. I know he went to John Curtis, but I forgot his name. Either way.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't throw in, like, Lindale White, yeah, Ryan Cushing.
Not even. So
Ray Maluga, Taylor Mays,
Troy Polamalu. They would have known him, though.
Yeah, because he's in the shampoo commercial.
Of course. So that's Dan Lanning, the Oregon head coach. He took his shots at the SEC. Of course, he would ignore the fact that he used to coach in that conference. It was big on the SEC football when he was the DC at Georgia.
It was tougher when he was the DC at Georgia.
Yeah, Kirby was there, and so was Nick. Yeah, it was tougher there. Ed was there in 2019.
Yeah. So Texas and Oklahoma weren't in there yet.
Yeah. Softer ass conference now, of course. He had more Kentucky to deal with.
Yeah. A higher share of the Kentucky.
Yeah, he had to deal with them. So
Vandy wasn't good.
Yeah, it's true. So that's USC on the list. They played hard. Mayaba didn't have a great game. But Oregon, they needed that one to just say, hey, I know you guys know we lost to Indiana and our Penn State win isn't great now, although the committee has said, hey, when you played them, they're good, so we'll still give you credit for that. For whatever, hey, people pick and choose how they want to perceive things.
I
kind of
get what
things.
They're saying, but it's still ridiculous. I kind of understand. That's like, hey, they didn't quit their season yet.
Yeah. At the moment, they were up for it, and then when they lost, it broke them.
It's like pretty obvious, that they packed it in after that game.
Yeah.
But.
Which may speak to...
It still is picking and choosing.
It is picking and choosing, but if you want to make that argument, you very well can. So USC top list, mostly because it knocks them completely out of the chase for a playoff appearance, which is rough for Lincoln Riley and that USC team. Now they have to deal with UCLA, which should be very easy, but it's going to be kind of an empty thing playing UCLA to close out their season. But oh well.
It's about just avoiding the embarrassment of losing to UCLA.
At this point.
This year's UCLA.
A coachless UCLA team. So we'll see where the Trojans fall. They probably won't be completely out of CFP rankings, but they'll be at a spot where they are no longer one of the contestants for the lottery, that is.
Yeah.
Who's the committee going to pick?
They'll take, like, Mizzou or Illinois spot.
Yeah, because Mizzou lost to
Oklahoma. Mizzou lost to
in a beautifully played offensive game. Mizzou versus Oklahoma. I was miserable. I want to put myself on the index for watching that game.
Watching that.
Woof.
I
don't know if this is the case, but since the 4-team playoff came about, of course now we're at 12, Oklahoma may be the worst offense to ever make it if they make it. If we go by, because at least with four, you know, it was a higher standard.
It was a higher
standard. And those offenses were good enough to make a 14 playoff. I don't know if there will be a worse offense ever since we start having the playoff. Oklahoma's offense is as bad as that Florida State offense in 1998 when they were on their third string quarterback, when they had a fullback pretty much playing quarterback for them in a year that Chris Winkie got hurt. The Tennessee year when Tennessee won a national title. That's how bad Oklahoma's offense is. And yet, Missouri couldn't take advantage of it early, and then John Mateer hit one slant for a touchdown, and that was kind of the end of the ballgame. Missouri kind of broke at that point.
I'm racking my brain for all the playoff teams.
Think about them.
Yeah. I mean,
I can't remember an off. Like,
it's like
teams have performed poorly when they've met another team. Like Cincinnati versus Alabama.
Yeah.
No contest in the playoff.
I think the closest is Connor Cook, Michigan State.
Yeah, the team who had to score a touchdown late to beat Iowa in the Big Ten title game.
I think that
one's close.
But
at least they could run the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, they had like an identity.
Yeah.
Not just like
Mateer scramble around, don't hurt yourself, and make a play at the very
basically
end.
Basically like holding the ball, like as an offense, just holding the ball long enough for the defense to
make a play,
not be fatigued.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, listen, we need two first downs here just so, you know. Just so R. Mason Thomas has time to hit the oxygen machine.
Maybe make an adjustment, have a little conversation, then we can get it back out there.
Yeah,
so that's besides the point. Because Oklahoma, not on the misery index. If they lose to LSU, then we'll talk about them next week.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we'll talk about them next week. But let's move to the team in Atlanta. Not the Falcons, who are making their fan base miserable.
NFL-wise, they would be on.
Yes, but Georgia Tech down 28-0 to Pitt at one point in that game. It was win and you're in. Simplest way to put it, Georgia Tech was two victories away, including the Pittsburgh game, from making the playoff.
Yep.
Like they could have treated the Georgia game like Pat Narduzzi treated the Notre Dame game. Eh,
they
whatever.
Should. They should. That would be the smart way to do
they
it.
They would have been able to, but instead, they're down 28-0. And my thought during that game was, how long will, because it was gone in a way where if they're going to get blown out 55 to whatever.
Yeah.
I was thinking, hey, how long are they going to keep this graphic up? Because throughout the game, Georgia Tech in the ACC championship game, if they win, at some point, were they just going to pull that graphic off the screen?
Silently.
Yeah, but they didn't have to because it was 28-14.5 because Pittsburgh's offense disappeared.
And there was like, I don't know, 30, 35 minutes of real lifetime where I was
felt
like, I was like, Georgia Tech's going to come
they're
back
and win this game.
Like, it was a classic, like as well as Pitt played to go up 28. Nothing. They played as poorly until, you know,
And Georgia Tech was driving to make it 28-21.
Yeah, until that,
And then Haynes King throws a pick six at the goal line, turns it into 35-14, and it was kind of over after that.
Yeah. Although, well, was that before the fake punt? The fake punt was where I was like, Pitt is like actively trying to lose this. Like, they're giving Georgia Tech another shot at staying in this game. They have no business.
I don't remember the timeline there. I kind of just lost it once Haynes King threw the pick. I was like,
No, that's a like that play should have been just okay. You can turn your TVs off now, America.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a lot of great games on at the time, so maybe you stuck with it because LSU Western Kentucky was going on at the same time, and boy, did that stink.
I think the punt was before that.
Okay, so.
Or the fake punt.
So all those Georgia Tech fans, all those engineers were sitting there hoping, and rightfully so going into the game. It was all set up for you to win and go back to an ACC title game. Hadn't been there in a while. Instead, you let Pitt jump out on you. You fight back. Just couldn't get it done. And even after it was 35-14, it got to 42-28, and Georgia Tech was driving again. They could just not put enough drives together. The mountain was too high to climb.
The fake punt was when it was 35-21, and then Georgia Tech immediately scores a touchdown to make it 35-28. And so
still,
then it's like, whoa.
They're still going to find a way to blow this game.
Yes, and then Pitt goes and scores a touchdown
a big
pretty
touchdown.
Fast.
Yeah, so Pitt responded really quickly after Georgia Tech had got it within one score. And
then the game was over.
And then the game was over at that point.
But it was a game for much longer
than it should have been. When it's 28-0 at one point. So credit Georgia Tech for fighting, but now they need a lot of help. Pitt still does too, even if they beat Miami. That's a game where that's the noon or 11 o'clock hour time. That's the early game as far as teams that are still in the ACC race.
And oh, okay. They,
and then those two teams have to look, whoever wins the game at least, has to wait the rest of the day to figure out if they're in or not.
They should do it where they all play it. Like
soccer?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it's the group, final game of the group stage?
There's like just as many teams alive as in a soccer.
Yeah, but for a TV product, we got to make people wait to SMU plays Cal at set, or I guess 9 o'clock local time in California or whatever, or maybe even later than that. Maybe it's but either way, it probably won't be that late. No one wants to stay up to watch SMU Cal at that time.
And Cal's like, all right, can our season just be
over? We fired our coach after getting blown out by Stanford. Yeah.
Can we get this over at like 2 o'clock instead of 7?
Yeah, it's a little – the Notre Dame-Stanford game is the one that's buried. The Notre Dame-Stanford game is 9:30 our time. So a 7:30 start there. But the Cal – SMU game was later in the day as well.
And Cal's petitioning, like, can we just bump that off, get this over with?
Sorry, we wanted to make it a big night for the ACC, so you're going to have to wait it out.
Doesn't Mark Richt and Roman Harper want to go to bed early?
Are they going to send them to that game?
I don't know.
Which game are they sending the ACC network to, I wonder?
Oh, probably Pitt. Pitt might.
Yeah, probably, because Pitt will likely be ranked in the CFP. When those rankings come out tonight. So the SMU Cal game is 7 o'clock our time. So it's not that bad local time. It'll be 5. And Virginia Tech, Virginia, another part of the ACC equation is at
maybe they send them
6 p.m. our time.
Maybe they send them to Virginia.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to send them to a noon kickoff at Miami Pittsburgh, even though that'll be the two ranked teams. We'll see. But either way, Georgia Tech on the list. They were in the title game with the win.
Yeah.
Now they're begging for help and from a lot of people.
Don't look now, but Georgia Tech, USC, both lost. They're directly above Texas.
Hmm.
Texas has a head-to-head with Vanderbilt. Do we respect head-to-heads? Yes, we do.
No, they don't.
And now
I can tell you they don't.
Texas is right behind Miami.
The problem for you is you've lost three times, and Vanderbilt's only lost twice.
I know.
So you have to wait till the final weekend to say
Tennessee, can you beat a team that is bowl eligible for me one time this season?
I don't think they have the facilities for that, big man. Yeah, maybe they do. We'll see. It's in Knoxville, right? So maybe they will do that. So your hope is...
I don't really hope this.
You just
this
need a lot of chaos.
This is just the path. No, yeah.
Chaos and a win over A&M.
Yes. A bunch of Texas Twitter people like have like the weekly like what you should root for. And it just boils down to anyone with one or two losses, root against them.
Lose.
For them to lose.
And
that's it.
And then beat the Aggies in Austin.
And circling back to Mizzou, who's not on the misery index.
No.
I watched their game and then immediately watched Arkansas play Texas.
Yeah.
They play Arkansas and Mizzou play this week.
Jeez.
Arkansas is 2-9. I, with a whole heart, believe that they are a better team than Mizzou.
They can score points at least.
I think they are better than Mizzou.
A credit to Bo Prabula for showing up and playing after a dislocated ankle. Fine, but.
Stunk up the joint, but
I mean,
warrior.
After a couple of stretch runs, zone runs early that they got them in a field goal range, they didn't do anything. They played
nothing for Oklahoma.
There are some cowardly play calls in that game. Hey, it's 3rd and 10. Let's run the ball here in their territory.
Eli's trying to keep it close. Keep it close. It's gonna look better on the resume.
Well, it did say close, but you did lose.
It's gonna look better on the Florida resume.
Oh, good for him. He can go there, and Florida will be pissed at him because they hired a guy named Eli.
And he's never beaten a ranked team at Mizzou, never beaten a ranked team. In the last 2 years, I don't think – no, they haven't beat a team that finished over 500 in conference play.
Perfect.
They're 0-16.
After Louisiana – after Sun Belt Billy, that would be tough for Florida to swallow after apparently losing out on Lane Kiffin.
I didn't see that stat until this Saturday. I'm like, there's no way this guy can get a job. No self-respecting program could hire this guy.
Wait on it. We'll see.
I said self-respecting.
Maybe they're not aware they're not self-respecting, believe they are.
That's right.
And that leads us to this. All the job.
Speaking of not self-respecting.
All the job and potential openings that can come from a Lane Kiffin decision. Ole Miss, you are on the verge of the best season in your modern history for you. I mean, there's a Eli Manning Cotton Bowl, but we're talking about a chance to go win a national title. You just got to beat your in-state rival, who's not very good, but has been a little salty at home. They got a win over Arizona State in Starkville. They pushed Texas to the brink in Starkville, so that'll be a tough place to play. But look, even a loss, you're on the brink. The committee would probably knock you out if other teams with two losses continue to win games. But a loss wouldn't completely remove you from the equation, but a win certainly has you locked in, and you got to deal with this, where we've got a decision to be made after the Egg Bowl. The assumption is that Lane Kiffin is going to LSU because they opened up the coffers for him and for the roster that they're going to help him acquire. And he's eating it all up. You would just like your coach to be like, you know what? No distractions. I'm completely focused on Miss State. Even if he's lying, you just would love for that to be the case. He goes, him is like, yeah, you know, could be, couldn't be. We'll see. That's kind of the attitude he's giving them, and it's gotta suck.
How many times has the coaching, you know, candidate or the coaching rumor guy been asked in a press conference about like the rumors surrounding the program, and he goes, "Hey, we're not talking about that. We're talking about our team." How many times does that guy ever stay? where they give him the lay, like Kirk Cignetti, Matt Campbell, Rhett Lashley, all signed extensions like at this point a month ago.
Sure.
With all these jobs open. All the same jobs have been open. Maybe not LSU, but for the most part. I feel like it's pretty... The only reason I think that Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss, or there's a chance that he stays at Ole Miss, is because he's Lane Kiffin. And this actually could all just be for...
For show.
Look at me and like... aren't I trolling you, LSU?
And Florida, in some ways, yeah.
Yes. Any other coach does this, I'm like, this guy's on the first thing smoking after the game. He is out of it.
As a recruiting fan, when a guy is committed...
He should have to do a hat.
When a player
he should do a hat.
When a player's committed to your school and then they set another commitment date, you're like, logically, now it's happened where a kid goes, I'm just reaffirming, but logically, your mind goes, oh, this kid's out. If he's setting a date to make an announcement, he's leaving.
If a coach meets with his athletic director, and the athletic director, after the meeting, releases a statement saying, folks, we have a commitment from Lane Kiffin that he'll coach for another 8 days. That is not a commitment.
No.
That is not a real commitment. He could very easily say, he's on board. Yeah, Lane, we got him.
We got an extension.
Yeah. Cue the Leo DiCaprio, I'm not bleeping leaving, Wolf of Wall Street scene. Like, no, that has not happened. They're going into, like you said, the biggest game. Are they still technically alive for the SEC title game?
I don't know what the tiebreakers are.
If they are, they're like the ultimate chaos team. So,
yeah.
But they are still like, they can technically still win an SEC championship and a national championship. And he's still like.
Playing this game. Playing in the team. Playing in that fan base.
Yeah.
Space.
No, I mean,
I don't know if Ole Miss. And a lot of schools' fan bases have this. If their fan base is always expecting the worst, like we deal with that here in this state, the Aggies always expect the bottom to fall out. I'm sure there are even Aggie fans, and maybe rightfully so, you are going to Austin against a team who was thought to be a national title contender. There's some people definitely afraid of what's going to happen on Friday night, right? Friday night. They're definitely afraid of that, and rightfully so.
So is the Egg Bowl. Egg Bowl is also Friday.
Yeah, you're going on the road against your rival who has gotten the best of you for the most part over your entire history. I don't know how Ole Miss people feel. They've had the run of it against the Bulldogs, but I got to believe there's a good part of that fan base who's thinking to themselves,
it's in Stark.
We're going to lose this game and then lose our coach. His distraction is going to cost us a chance at a national title, and he's going to be out the door.
Yeah, and then they'll drop down to the last at-large team spot, and then lose to whoever.
Or maybe their bid will get stolen.
Yeah.
Who knows? All the things could be running through their minds right now.
Mississippi State sitting at 5-6.
Bowl eligible.
Do you want to go to a bowl game, Jeff Levy? Do you want to go to, I don't know, Memphis for a bowl game? Do you want to go to Shreveport, Louisiana?
So
you can book that flight with a win.
Yeah. The win will be bigger than anything you're going to experience at that bowl game?
Yeah, probably. More than likely, yes.
But we're adding that on to the end of the bargain.
And that's what? 10 extra bowl practices? That's growth as a team.
Yeah, and you get to ruin.
Coaches really don't lean into that as much with the transfer portal
stuff.
Where they're like,
there are no
the
guarantees.
Bowl practices, really. They're like,
there are no guarantees.
Half these guys are leaving anyway.
No guarantees who's going to be in your roster. But you also get to ruin Ole Miss for not forever, but for a good long while.
Yeah,
if this happens.
Make them sore.
Yeah. So Ole Miss can make the SEC title game. Their win against Mississippi State has to happen. A&M has to lose in Austin. And Alabama has to lose
the Iron Bowl.
The Iron Bowl. And they would make it to the SEC title game.
Oh, yeah. Because I guess Georgia's done.
Yeah. Georgia's played all their SEC games. They got good old, I don't think, is it called clean old fashioned hate?
Clean old fashioned hate.
Against Georgia Tech?
Yeah. I always, almost always want to go to South's oldest rivalry.
But that's Auburn.
That's Auburn, Georgia.
Yeah.
Two good names.
It's very, very good. I mean, the Holy War is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
But that's at stake for Ole Miss fans. Misery or, you know, melancholy. You know, you're in the playoff, but your coach may not coach in the playoff, and he's probably going to LSU.
It's what we talk about from time to time, where, like, if he goes to LSU or Florida, I think the Lane Troll move is everyone thinks it's LSU, but he goes to Florida.
Sure.
But
he loves Steve Spurrier.
Yes. And there's a little bit of, like, they could just be, like, LSU's the team that's most, like, connected, or, you know, in the most public reports about it, like, in the driver's seat, even though there's not really one. I think that is partially a leverage play, partially a Lane Kiffin troll play. But if Ole Miss loses their coach to one of these schools, like, it is one of those, like, damn, there really is levels to this. Like, we've come up a lot. We've had a great last, what, 4 or 5 years or so. It's, like, still not enough.
It's like, confirmation it's still, of like, all the things everyone said about you. Like,
Florida can...
Florida can be
trip
bad
all over themselves for 15 years.
But when they come calling, your coach is right out the door. LSU.
It's a tough way to live.
Who you now can beat on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And then they can just come grab your coach.
Their old coach is suing them. The governor's involved in their coaching search. And it's
Lane
still a
still
better
wants
job.
To be part of that mess. Yeah. It's confirmation of all the things all the rival fans have told you over the years that you have pushed back on, considering your more recent success.
Yeah, they've been on their best behavior, Ole Miss. They figured out the NIL stuff. They're, recruiting, not power, but they're recruiting. Like, they hold their own.
Sure.
It's not, you know, Ole Miss I remember growing up, or whatever, 15 years ago, where it's like, Ole Miss, whatever. It's like the Mississippi schools, whatever, you know. Now it's like, no, they are around the playoff. They're probably going to make it this year. It's like, still not enough.
We will see how it plays out, but the prevailing thought is, no matter what school it is, it won't be Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. All right, we'll go to break with that. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776 is the number. We got a couple more segments to go before we wrap it up for the day. We will get into the Monday Night Football game, not because of the game. It was a horrendous game. 49ers did what they had to do. They won 20-9. Bad quarterback play. But at the very end of the game, that's what we want to talk about, because I'm trying to figure out, particularly if you're not a great player, does this ever come off your jacket when you do something like this and everyone sees it? We'll talk about that when we come back. But before we go, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. You know it's the season of giving, and we won't be here for Thanksgiving, and you guys will be with your family. But think about Christmas. Maybe you want to make a big purchase, and that purchase, if it's a car, should be done at Monument Chevrolet. And, you know, maybe it has nothing to do with Christmas. You just need a new car. Still a place to go. Go check out what they have to offer at MonumentChevrolet.com. See the cars. See all the Chevys, whether it be a Silverado. Do you want a Blazer? Do you want an EV vehicle? Check them all out there. Find the car you want, the color you want, the price you want, and then head out to Pasadena. They're off of Beltway 8 and 225. And then you're not only going to see the great cars, you're going to see the great people. They will get you through the car buying process. It can be a little tricky if you've never done it before, or you just don't enjoy the experience very much. They understand that. Can be a little wary. People can be a little wary about it. They will tell you what you need to know and get you into the car that you want to get into. So whether it's new or pre-owned, or maybe something for your business, it's all out there for you at Monument Chevrolet. So remember the website, monumentchevrolet.com. Remember where they are. In Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And then remember, you're going to be able to deal with great people that'll get you into a great car. That's the Monument Chevrolet experience. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Ooh.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I've talked about this enough, Sean, that you probably know who Trayvon Mary is now, considering what we're about to discuss. Did you know of him, or at least even know how to pronounce his name? Because I didn't have to look it up before last night.
I had no idea how to pronounce his name.
Same.
Merrick is
how you pronounce his last name, even though it's not spelled where it should be pronounced that way. But it happens.
Mentally, I thought Marty Mordingweg. It has a lot of the same letters.
Yes, Trayvon Merrick is the guy we're going to talk about here. It's a game where the Panthers and the 49ers play. You know, they're teams with good records, but it's bad football. But because they're both in the playoff chase, we have to pretend like it was somewhat compelling football. It was awful football, but the teams have winning records. That's what happened. And at the very end of the game, as this wrapping up, 20-9, so you know there's no question about who's going to win. Guys are blocking a little bit. Winds up that Merrick punches Juwan Jennings right in the undercarriage, right in a spot you don't want to get punched in. But we don't see that initially. We just see Juwan Jennings, you would say, quote unquote, losing it, going after Merrick for what he did.
Almost Isaiah Stewart-esque.
Yes, you don't know why at first. You just know that, hey, this game's over, everybody. Everyone relax. Jennings wasn't having it, and rightfully so. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan first on this. Kyle Shanahan, the coach of Juwan Jennings. And then we'll kind of talk about it from Merrick's perspective. Here's Kyle Shanahan.
The guy took a cheap shot and hit him in the balls, and I was real proud of Juwan for not losing his mind out there and getting him to the sideline.
Sean, you did a little head tilt when you said he was proud of him not losing his mind.
I mean, he did lose his mind.
I mean, I guess there are tears to losing your mind.
Yeah. He didn't hurt his team.
He didn't go, hey, punch me in the other one. You're not going to get me to react. It wasn't that. He did react, and rightfully so.
That'd be crazy.
Hey, you hit me in the left. Hit me in the right. Still won't react. He responded. He wanted to get after him, but enough people were in the way to keep it from escalating. But the question is, like I mentioned Chris Paul very early in the show. Chris Paul did this in college to Julius Hodge, and I've never forgotten it. Mm-hmm. For all the point guard stuff, for all the, hey, playoff heartbreak, we had some of it here with the hamstring, I will never disassociate Chris Paul from a guy who punched another player in the nuts. You think I'm going to not think about Trayvon Merrick in that way ever? He's always going to be the guy who did this. He's not a good enough player to wipe away that stain. And I was thinking about it from someone who was on the field, maybe his teammate. Like it also pops into my head, if you're a teammate of Deshaun Watson, is that always in your back of your mind what he was up to? Like, no matter what you say to the press, when you look at him, like when you're like a quiet moment at practice, when you know he actually practiced, he takes his rep and then he just stands by the side because the backup's out there. We just look to your right and go, that's the guy who was alleged to do all this stuff. Right? Right? That never leaves, right?
It crosses your mind.
It has to.
It crosses
your mind. How do you not think about it? If you're a Panther, you know, athletes, they have to get themselves a different mindset. So maybe I'm wrong on this. But if you're one of his teammates the rest of the way, yeah, the guy punched Jennings in the nuts, right? He's always nut puncher, right?
Yeah. Does he immediately become one of the guys where it's the Patrick Beverley, like, you love it when he's on your team, you hate him when he's not? Just, like, you get automatic acceptance into that club when you punch nuts.
I think no one who isn't a Panther thinks highly of him after today, last night. I think across the league.
Okay. So, he hasn't quite gotten the flip side where the Panthers are like, thank God we got this guy. Thank God he's on our side.
I don't know if he's good enough to be, thank God we have him. But I don't think anyone outside of that locker room is like, I like that Merrick.
Like, Steph isn't like, Fairmont. Yeah, he's kind of a scumbag. He doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that. He's one of the guys.
He's fiery.
Yeah. They defend him. And I'm sure there are moments that Steph's like, could you not? Why are you stepping on Sabonis' chest? What are you doing? Cut it out.
I realize Draymond's like the worst
example
because
we've seen the Warriors
punch his own player.
And we've seen the Warriors
in the face.
In the middle of when he's doing things, in the immediate aftermath, like react and go, come on, what are we doing? We need this guy. What's he up to?
No, and he like punch a teammate in the face.
Yes, but he also has the four championships at his back.
Yeah.
Merrick doesn't have that. He's just he's just a random safety in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that might be the thing that saves him. You might just forget because his name
I probably will.
You probably won't remember.
No. If 8 weeks from now, if you ask me, like, who's the guy that punched someone in the nuts on Monday Night Football, I would not be able to produce his name. But if you ask me about Travion Morag, I'd be like,
oh, he's the dude. Okay, I got
you. It works bad because his name is unique.
Yes,
that's true. If his name was whatever,
well, they have
Jalen Smith, I would forget.
Yeah, they have a guy on the roster named Mike Jackson, so I don't know if that's too...
What?
Yeah, his name is Mike Jackson. His name is fully Michael Jackson, but he's now going by Mike Jackson because of reasons. Hey, stop. I'm not that guy. I'm the corner for the Panthers. I'm a journeyman corner.
So I do feel like myself you have to Mike go by Jackson. Mike.
Yeah, I think he didn't go by that in college. Really? But now he goes by Mike. So is that name too unique or not unique or too generic? And you would remember because
Mike Jackson?
Yeah. Would you remember Mike Jackson?
Or is I remember.
Yeah.
Because of Michael Jackson.
Of course. Merrick.
But if his name was like Bill Smith.
Nah.
Whatever. Actually, I'd probably remember because his name's Bill and he's
William.
Was born in 1998 or whatever. That'd be crazy.
How about William then leads to Will? So we're going down a path here. Either way, Merrick. He's always going to be Monday night guy who punched another player for me.
It'll be like tell me three things about Leon Lett. And it's like, well.
You got Thanksgiving, the Super Bowl. And he was a pretty good defensive tackle.
Yeah, it's like past that. Like name another Leon Lett play. It's like.
Super Bowl champion Leon Lett. That's the third fact
like
on him.
Like he's at an autograph signing. Super Bowl champion Leon Lett.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think he signs the BB thing like it someone brings up a picture of him being caught
I can see it going either way either now it's been 30 years and he has a good humor about it or he's like slaps it out of your hand when you show it to him.
I think it all depends on your approach. Like if you're at an autograph signing,
depends how much he needs the money at the autograph
like he has talked about it. They've interviewed him and he's okay with it.
Okay,
but I think it's how you approach him.
Because it goes different ways for different people.
Yeah, he played 11 seasons in the NFL. He was a long-time guy for those Cowboys.
I was going to say, name another team he played for.
He played 1 year with the Broncos.
Yeah, it's like, no, I just mean like the average person.
And I only know that because I looked his name up on Wiki. So he won't reach that status. Merrick won't because it's a random Monday night game and it wasn't Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's not quite on the 90s Cowboys.
Yeah, but for me, that's who you are from now on.
Morag.
You connected with Jawan Jennings and Jawan Jennings and his nuts. That's who you are for me. I don't care what you do the rest of the way.
Because Chris Paul, he did the most you probably could do to make people forget.
Yeah. He was a great, great player. He was a great player in college, but he lost it for a second. And he's been a little chippy and dirty since.
I was going to say, I think what he could have done more to make people forget is to not be as chippy and dirty in the NBA. Not dirty, but,
well, be on the edge. There's a compilation. Now, this was created 9 years ago, so he's cleaned it up since. He's always like a little – he's still chippy.
Yeah, he's a 5'10" point guard.
That's how you survive, beyond being great at basketball. Yeah. There's a compilation put together of all his nut punches.
Oh.
So when there's a compilation
– yeah, okay.
I don't think you've moved past it.
No. So he's not quite like – Hakeem Olajuwon after he converted. It's not quite that much of a, like, can you believe it? This guy used to be a hothead?
No.
Not that.
When he was at his best, it was also when he was punching people. Yeah.
Yeah, his prime.
Yeah, his prime of punching and his prime of being a great player.
Did the punching go before the basketball play? Like he...
Yes.
He was over the hill as a nut puncher before as a basketball player.
Because he was really good with the Rockets, maybe not in his prime, but he was part of he was a catalyst along with James Harden of a team who could have won the title.
That's true.
He had moved past that. So, yes, the basketball exceeded.
Even like the OKC year in 2020. He was good.
They made the playoffs that year.
He was good on the Suns when they made the finals.
Yes.
The next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Once he got out of his 30s, he stopped with the whole punching people and the Guyons, I guess, as a certain.
I know. I did think it was funny that normally a coach tries to, like, dress it up or, say it without saying it. And he's like, I saw he got punched in the balls. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan, yes. Like, just does not even.
If they asked him that question during a bye week and he's on the desk for Fox, he probably doesn't put it that way. But in a presser, he's like, whatever, we just won a game. I'm going to say what I got to say. So that happened last night. The game itself was not good.
Oh, by the way, are we doing the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud conversation?
Nope. I don't want to entertain it because I wasn't doing it when Bryce Young was playing pretty well, so I'm not going to do it when he plays poorly.
Well, now it only ever happens when he's playing well. Do we get like the, hey, last six games?
Well, the Texans people who love themselves some CJ will have. No. I've already seen it. They brought up what happened last night.
Oh, okay.
I thought of all you guys like Bryce.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen when CJ like plays well. Like it's one of those things where the CJ army aims higher than Bryce Young. Bryce Young army aims at CJ Stroud.
That's true. And when Bryce plays poorly, they aim down at Bryce Young.
Same thing with Trevor Lawrence. Time to get your licks on.
Well, Trevor Lawrence, that's a debate. Oh, that's a mid-off, I think, right now.
Yeah.
CJ has a chance to get out of that tier. Trevor Lawrence is firmly planted.
Yeah, it's just CJ Stroud has his own like collection of rivals, and that I don't know if he feels one way or the other about, but just the discourse pits them against each other. I'd say it's those two probably lead pack, and then maybe Caleb because he big bro'd him that one time.
Yep. Sure. I think if we go by CJ's words, he thinks his rivals are the Josh Allens and Lamars and Patrick.
Well, he's
Mahomes.
Better than Josh Allen, but yeah.
Sure.
According to him,
when he's in the same building as Josh Allen, even when he doesn't play in the game, he's better than Josh Allen. You're right about that.
When he's playing well.
No, even on Thursday when he wasn't playing, he was better than Josh Allen.
Oh, he took less sacks.
Telling you.
Quarterback stat.
I'm not being hypothetical. When those two are in the same building and two teams are playing, he's the best quarterback in the building, even when he's out because of a concussion. Now, Josh Allen generally is a better quarterback, but in NRG, he's not, no matter what the situation is for CJ. Yeah.
It's like a Superman Clark Kent thing.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just what it is.
Yeah. I've never seen him in the same room be better than CJ Stroud.
Never. Never. Some kryptonite in the NRG turf for Josh Allen. All right, we'll go to break. We've got one more segment to go before we're done. If you want to join us, certainly can. 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this is Sean's last day this week with us. You going to where, San Antonio? Where are you going?
No, I'm going to Longview.
Okay.
It's my grandparents' house.
You got responsibilities for Thanksgiving? You just sit there and eat and hang out?
Sit there, eat, be a good... You
grandson?
Know. Yeah, you know, keep the conversation moving.
Oh, you're a connector.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a glue guy.
Got it.
You know,
got it.
The stars are the people that are cooking.
So who are the, what's the star dish then? Like the thing everyone knows is going to be good.
I think it's a pretty balanced attack. I think it's a little, I think that it's felt. Five moving as one.
Got it. So an offensive line unit?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the sweet potato casserole last week.
Sure.
I think it might be sweet potato casserole.
Look at that. The star of the show.
Yeah. Not often.
But. So it's not the protein.
Who sits down and is like, the star of this dinner is the turkey?
Not me.
The media wants you to believe it's the star. You know what it is? Oh, my God. I can't believe it's
God. We don't have time.
Last 5 minutes of my week before Thanksgiving.
And we're just getting here to this?
The turkey is the Davis Mills of Thanksgiving.
I call it the Notre Dame.
No. See, this is a timely example because why did the Texans win on Thursday? It was because of the sweet potato casserole that is
the mac and cheese.
Will Anderson. It's the mac and cheese that is Danielle Hunter. It's Stingley who's Stingley. dinner rolls?
It all depends on what you like as a side. Yeah.
Yes.
The pie. I don't know what you want to.
Bullock, the cherry on top with the interception.
All of that. Like, yes. I get what you're saying.
But when they you know, when they tweet out the graphic of Thanksgiving, you know what's in the middle? The big old turkey. That's Davis Mills.
Some people say he's got a turkey neck.
Some people do say that.
Some people do say that. I get what you're saying. Like, normally,
the quarterback
is the highlighted thing, although we all know the stars of the show were all the things surrounding it, much like the turkey. Yeah, I know it gets all the glory and fame because it's the thing you talk about when who gets a slice of turkey. You want darker or white meat. But honestly, the turkey is lifted up by everything else around it.
Mm-hmm.
The size. If you just drop the turkey on the table on Thanksgiving and nothing else, everyone's like, what the hell am I doing here? Why am I just eating a turkey? Yeah. Look, I know Damaris makes a great turkey, but for the regular old turkey, the one that people just throw in the oven, needs a lot of help. A lot of help. That's why leftovers, when you throw a turkey sandwich together, it's built on all the other stuff, and the turkey's just what's holding it together. You're right. Yeah. Davis Mills.
Cranberry sauce deserves a mention.
There it is.
The Ziz Al-Shaair of...
You're giving him too much credit. He's more like the stuffing, I would say. And depending if you like dressing or stuffing. Yeah. All right, we're done for the day. Sean's done for the week. He'll be back next week. I won't. I got one more day, and then I'm heading to Ormond Beach, which is somewhere near Orlando and Daytona Beach, to be the glue guy for my Thanksgiving. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Shred up, Stroud!
I just like him to be able to practice today or tomorrow. That'd be great. We'll talk about that and more tomorrow.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.